Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Welcome you to the Blake Radio Network Rainbow Soul. I'm Deirdre Schuler, your host. Well, I want to start off by asking the listener, do you believe in angels? And if you do you believe that every human being has an angel who walks with them throughout their entire life? Some people have told me of their experiences with an invisible force, or they just suddenly heard a voice that warned them or guided them. In fact, a friend once told me that he had been standing in a military compound talking to fellow soldiers in his unit when suddenly a voice that seemed to come from inside his head said, "Hurry up, get inside." But he ignored it and continued to chat with his friends. And the voice came again, even more urgently, and said, "Go inside right now." Well, my friend obeyed, and within seconds he heard a huge blast. And he looked outside where he saw that every single soldier standing in that courtyard died. So why him? Who rescued him? Was it his guardian angel? There's a story after story of people all over the world who tell of their encounter with a higher power. They say a guardian angel is an angel assigned to protect and guide a particular person or group. And this belief in guardian angels can be traced throughout all antiquity. Well, how do you meet your guardian angel? That is a question for my guest today, Susan Reynolds, who has met her guardian angel, hears him, and recognizes the guardian angel of other people. She has written a book detailing her experiences entitled The Angel Lady, A Journey with My Spiritual Companions. Well, let's wander to the other side in this show and find out how we can start calling all angels. Susan is here, so let's welcome her to the show. How are you, Susan Reynolds?
I'm very well, thank you.
Well, thank you for visiting us this evening. So tell me a little bit about yourself. I know you were born in the Bronx.
Yes, I was born in the Bronx 55 years ago, actually. And as I was growing up, I grew up in an Italian Catholic family, and guardian angels were spoken of frequently. So it was nothing unusual to me to hear all about angels all the time. However, I was exposed to angels very, very early on in my life, as far back as I can remember, of hearing a voice and seeing an angel beside me from as probably 18 months to 2 years old, I can remember. And that's how it all began for me.
Now, you mentioned that you come from a typical Italian family. What is a typical Italian family?
That's a good question. Well, growing up in the Bronx in the 50s and 60s and everything, a typical Italian family would be a lot of family around, having, you know, brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles coming and visiting all the time, making sure that you're going to church every Sunday and every holiday and every holy day. And I did go to Catholic school. And so for me, that was very typical. And we lived in a neighborhood where, you know, I could walk to my grandmother's house. I could walk to my aunt's house. So that was, for me, very typical. And found out that other people within my family and outside my family grew up pretty much the same way. And that, for me, that was what a typical Italian family was. We all ate together. We all worshiped together, prayed together, and so on and so forth.
Well, you know, I was raised a Catholic, and are you are a Catholic by faith?
I am, and by choice now.
Now tell me, when I grew up and went to parochial school, there was a great deal to do, we had a great deal to do with saints, that we would pick a particular saint, or if you got your confirmation, you picked a particular saint. But in your understanding, are there saints appointed to certain vocations or principles? For example, St. Christopher is thought to protect travelers.
That's correct. There were saints that, and I was just speaking about this today, that St. Don Bosco was for publishers and editors, and I was just speaking with my editor and publisher today with regards to that. And what that basically means, that they act as intercessors. Of course, we don't worship the saints and we don't worship the angels. We only worship God. But just as we ask for help when we pray to God and for other people, it's the same thing. You know, it's having an intercessor to pray with you, for you, and if they've been through certain circumstances that they could understand, well, it helps to know that they're guiding you along the way because they've been there and done that. So that's basically what that with the intercessor in the saints is all about, as well as with the angels.
Exactly. I was going to ask you about the angels because there are many orders of angels. I know there are the powers, the virtues, mm-hmm. the dominions, and the highest one is the seraphim, which is the caretaker of God's throne.
Yes, that is correct. Angel, now, archangel, yes.
Mm-hmm. And I understand the powers are the bearers of consciousness and the keepers of history.
Mm-hmm.
But the guardian angels, what is their responsibility?
The guardian angel, by virtue of its name, is to guard, to guide, to protect, to bring us closer to God, to lead us on our way. They are sent by God. The name angel means, in Greek, angelos means messenger from God. So therefore, they are bringing us messages right from God to help us, to help us on our journey throughout this life. And that's what a guardian angel does, and as well as protecting.
Now, how would one talk to you? I mean, there's, of course, all kinds of ways, I suppose, in dreams, and some people hear a voice in their head, but how do you hear your guardian angel?
I hear my guardian angel as just like I'm hearing you speaking right now. It's very audible to me. And when I do hear him, it's clear. It's not as though I have to kind of think about what he's saying or anything like that. It's very clear. And when a word of knowledge comes to me, it's just that. It's what would be considered an inner locution, which is basically having the word come to you, and you are sure of what the word is because you're discerning it. So you know that it is of God. You know that it's not something that is going to, you know, take you away from the path that you're on, which is always towards God. And that's basically what that is. But I have heard Milo and seen him since I'm a child. So the voice is always very familiar to me. Oh, very familiar to me, like a best friend. And that's basically, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
That's basically when people say to me, guardian angel, well, it is that. It's like your best friend, somebody who you can turn to at any given moment, and they're there for you.
Now, you mentioned a word. I mean, do you just hear a word or you hear sentences? I mean, he's actually talking to you like conversational?
Yes, especially when I'm in spiritual direction with people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm able to listen to what he's saying to me so that I can respond to them and help to draw their spirit to where it need, you know, where God wants it to be. And so I need to listen. I need to be able to listen to that. If he's telling me about the person and speaking to their angel, I can hear that conversation taking place.
Now, do you have to be in a meditative state, or he just starts speaking with you?
I don't have to be in a meditative state. But I also can't just summon him at will either. Because he is a messenger from God, it's God's will, and as God wills it to happen, that's when it happens. But when it's done without reservation on my part, or when I'm open to the Holy Spirit and open to the promptings of Milo, I can absolutely hear it all the time.
Now, that is so wonderful.
To some people, they say that could be a blessing and a curse, and I don't see it as a curse any longer at all.
Well, I can understand, because I have lucid dreams, and I've certainly been told things in advance of the future, which has come true. So I know that
mm-hmm.
sometimes you don't want to tell people because you don't know what they're going to say. Has that been part of your life that you're hesitant to tell people?
When I was younger, I would say I was more hesitant, simply because I thought to myself, if I were to say this to someone, they're going to think I'm crazy. So my ego was in the way of what God wanted to accomplish. And so as I became older and wiser, certainly not as wise as I wish I could be, but, you know, as you get older, you realize that, you know what, the truth is the truth, and either you can speak the truth, and if somebody receives that truth, well, great. If they don't, at least you've spoken it, and now the rest is up to them. If they're not going to cooperate with God to understand what that truth is, well, then that's up to them, but at least I've done my part.
Well, do you find now that more and more people are seeking something else, something spiritual within themselves, because they feel something is missing?
I do find that. You know, some people think that, you know, spirituality is dead and God is dead and nobody even listens to the word anymore or cares about what God thinks. And unfortunately, it seems as though that's played up in the media, okay? But the truth of the matter is we come from God. I believe that. And so we always spend our lives seeking from where we come from. And therefore, we do look for that. We look for glimpses of God. We look for our DNA, so to speak. Where do we come from? What is my purpose? Why Why am I here? I mean, those are the age-old questions for centuries. And so,
I think when you start to ask those questions, that's when you get on the road.
Exactly. And it may not seem like a clear road at the beginning, because I truly believe the way God feeds us is like a jigsaw puzzle. It's one piece at a time as we can take it. We can't see the whole, if we had all the pieces without the box that the puzzle comes in, you would have no idea how to even begin this or what the picture is, represents. So this way, it's piece at a time, but as we seek and as we look for these pieces, God is very willing to give them to us. So that's where the cooperation comes in.
Well, tell me your angel's name, Milo.
My angel's name is Milo. That is correct.
And he rescued you at one time. Tell us that story.
When I had stopped hearing him by my own choosing, okay, as I became older, I was not sure I was searching, so to speak. And I was working in a newspaper, and it was a very stressful job. And as I was walking down the street, I used to walk quite a bit, like 4 or 5 miles a day, just to be able to clear my thoughts. And as I was walking on this one particular day, I was coming around a curve, and I heard very distinctly, "Susan, get out of the way. There's a car coming." And at that very moment, I thought, oh, I am so stressed out. I'm starting to hear voices now. And so I didn't pay attention, and I just kept walking. And then I heard it again, "Susan, get out of the way." Only this time it was stronger, the voice, almost demanding, "Get out of the way. There's a car coming." And I just kept walking again, and only this time I was getting fearful, like, who is this? And I'm looking around, and I don't see anyone. And then finally, I felt a gentle shove, like push me out of the way. And at that very second, within a split second, there was a car that came around a curve, didn't see me there, and missed me by about an inch.
Wow.
So much so that I could feel it, literally feel the breeze of the car coming onto my clothing. And it startled me so much that I fell over. Now, I was lucky I didn't get hurt. And at that very moment, I'm thinking to myself, okay, what am I more afraid of, the fact that I almost just got hit by a car or the fact that I'm hearing voices? And as it turned out, it was Milo.
Well, tell me how you started your store, Calling All Angels.
Well, as my relationship grew with Milo, and I trusted that this was my angel. And by the way, I had collected angels ever since I've been a child. Everything I had, I even named my first doll Angel.
Hmm.
So it seemed like, my husband was saying to me, "Sue, this is a natural thing for you. You wanted to kind of get out of the newspaper business. How about opening up part-time?" We had opened up a cabinet shop. And there was a little office on the side. And he said, "Why not make this into your dream, a little angel store?" And I said, "Sure." And so we opened up the angel store. And the next thing you know, it grew to be 2 floors. And it drew in so many people. And it didn't matter what religion. They just were, for whatever reason, drawn to this store. And it was definitely off the beaten path. It wasn't like you could see it in a mall. And something had to lead you there. And so that was when we opened Calling All Angels. And it was an amazing journey. It truly was.
Well, you got the reputation of being the angel lady.
Correct.
People started coming to your store to find out information.
Mm-hmm.
And was that you saw their particular guardian angel who told you information, or Milo?
It could be both. I trusted Milo's voice because I knew that. So when Milo would say, "This person is grieving, they have just lost their mother, offer them help, offer them a kind word, offer them to pray for them," or what have you, I would do that. I would do it. And so I never wanted money, because that I felt that what God gave me freely, I was to give freely back. And so... if they came in and they got different items, that was up to them. But most of the time, a lot of people would sit and say, can I pay you for this information? I mean, and I'm like, no, that's not necessary. This is something that I feel that God wants me to share with you. And that's how it all began. And then it just blossomed from there.
And that was in Pennsylvania, right? You lived in Pennsylvania for several
years?
That
is correct. That was correct. That's correct. It was in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania.
Well, this is the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul. I'm your host, Deirdre Shuler, and this is Topically Yours. And our guest today is Susan Reynolds. And as I mentioned before, she has written a book, The Angel Lady, A Journey with My Spiritual Companions. What prompted you? Well, I should ask you first, I guess, about a foundation that you started.
Well, people would come in and want to leave money, or they would leave money on the counter and then just leave after I had spoken with them. And I said to my husband, I said, I just don't feel comfortable with this. He said, well, why not start a foundation? Why not start something where we could actually do something with the money that you're receiving? And I did. And we started the Follow Me Foundation, and we based it on Christian principles. And that we felt that we needed to help people, that God had used us, and we needed to share the blessings with others. And so that's how the Follow Me Foundation started. And then as we grew, we wound up with a food pantry and all kinds of different programs that we offered. And the food pantry, by the time we actually closed it in 2011, yes, we were actually at that point servicing 11,000 individuals every year. So it was it was quite big. And my husband and I had decided at that point that we needed to move for health reasons to Santa Fe, New Mexico. And when I moved there, we continued the process with the foundation, helping organizations to do their ministry, basically. And now the proceeds from the book will be going to the Follow Me Foundation to continue the mission.
And you do something quite humbling, I must say, and that is that on occasion, well, you have a lot of volunteers that also help, but on occasion you wash the feet of those needy people that come in to seek your guidance and help.
We did. Actually, a woman, a friend of mine, felt on her heart, she had come to me and said to me, that while we had the food pantry, she said, Susan, I really believe that God wants you to wash the feet of people that come in. And I'm not a foot person, so for me, this was like, are you kidding me? I mean, can this really, I think you got that message wrong. And I resisted that. I truly did resist that for a while. And then finally, I felt it on my heart that God wasn't kidding around, that this is what he wanted. And so we began washing the feet, or offering to wash the feet of the people that we were servicing with the food pantry. And
were they taken aback at first?
At first, they just, you know, at first I didn't think anybody was going to even do this. You know, that I know if it were me, I would be like, oh, thank you so much, but no thank you. But What happened was amazing. People came and they sat in front of us, and we were able to put their feet in these beautiful foot baths and everything, and minister to them in a way that was just, it was so humbling. And I recall this one time that this was the first time that I was going to wash somebody's feet, and all I kept saying was, Jesus, please. You know how I am with feet. This is so not good. I'm not good with smells. I mean, I'm making every excuse you can imagine. And all of a sudden, the person took off their socks, and it was in the summer, so it was a difficult thing for me. So I'm reaching down, and I'm washing this person, the feet of this person, and I immediately felt different, and I looked up, and as I was looking up, I looked into this person's eyes, and I no longer saw that person. I saw the face of Jesus there, and I knew that this was the right thing to do. I knew
was
it.
That what Jesus himself had done according to biblical accountings?
That's exactly what Jesus did at the Last Supper. He washed the feet of Peter, and he said, as I do for you, you do for others. In other words, to be the servant. Be the servant. Don't be afraid. You know, the first will be last, and the last will be first. So it was our time to make sure that we were actually at the lowest part of the body. And that's exactly what Jesus did.
I want to ask you a question about, of course, there are forces of light and there are forces
mm-hmm.
of darkness. Do you think sometimes that when people are trying to do good things, there's always something happens on occasion that blocks the way? And is that the dark forces trying to block you from doing those things that you consider are divine?
Yes. I mean, what I find amazing is that, you know, years ago there was a comedian named Flip Wilson, and he used to say, the devil made me do it. And people used to laugh and think this was hysterical. But in reality, as there is, you know, God wins, and the light will always triumph over the darkness. But there is darkness out there. It doesn't take an angel lady to see that there is darkness out there. Most people realize that there's evil out there. And yes, it can be very overpowering. And one of the words that came to me in prayer before I have done angel talks just recently was, you know, the truth is very, very powerful. And the darkness runs away from the truth. And fear is not of God. And so the enemy wants to take that fear and magnify it so that it cripples us. It cripples us to do what God asks us to do, and that fear that just says, no, 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 you don't need to do that, and pushes all the right buttons, I should say the wrong buttons, to make us immobilized. And so it allows the darkness in, and then fear is, you know, depression sets in because we feel like we want to do all these good things. We hear God speaking to us. We know when God is communicating with us, and we can't. We're crippled by this fear. And the enemy does that. And yes, he tries to thwart our efforts to grow closer to God because he's got little limited time and he knows he's not going to win this. So he's going to give it his best shot. And that's
the way the world is. He's busy doing that. He's a busy beaver right now.
He is, but you know what? The truth of the matter is that he's only busy because we're cooperating with that. If we turned it around and cooperated with God instead, there would be less evil in this world.
I agree with you there. And in fact, I wanted to ask you, do you believe that faith and prayer has a huge role in creating synchronicity in one's life?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's not, I mean, for me, yes, it's about being a Catholic Christian. But regardless, Mother Teresa used to say, I don't care if you're a Jew, you're a Christian, you're a Hindu, whatever you are, just be a good one. Be good and allow the goodness of God to come through you, whatever your understanding of God is. So it's not just for Christians. It's for all people because we are made in the likeness and image of God and we are created to be good. And so when we cooperate with that goodness, we do good, we are good, and we are a reflection of good.
Now, you mentioned earlier that the question is, who am I and why am I here? Do you think that we're all born to a mission or just a few are chosen for that?
I believe that we are all born with purpose. And that purpose, God can work through what may seem to be the simplest job, the simplest person. And yet, God can find a way to touch people through every single one of his creation. And he creates beauty. He creates good. We see things sometimes that are, you know, as less than perfect. But God doesn't. He sees us as his wonderful creation. So therefore, everything has purpose.
I agree.
And that's basically where I stand on that. Some people may agree or not agree, and I'm glad that you do agree. But for those who feel that they don't have purpose, think again. And if they do believe in Scripture, look up Romans 8:28, and then you'll hear what I'm saying there.
Well, also in the world, there are so many sites, those sacred sites. You had an opportunity to visit some. Tell us about that.
I have been able to visit sacred sites. I've been to Rome. I've been to Assisi, which is where St. Francis was, and it was the most peaceful place I've ever been to. I have been to the Holy Land. I was able to literally touch the slab that Jesus was laid in the Holy Sepulchre.
Wow.
I've been to Jordan and Medjugorje, where the Virgin Mary has appeared for the past 26 years. And I have made that my mission, that I've asked the Lord that instead of just doing vacations to different places, that I felt that I wanted to instead go on a pilgrimage and walk with him wherever he sent my husband and I. And I've had the good fortune of being able to meet people who have either asked us to come with them, paid for us to go in times of financial difficulties, or if we were able to pay for it ourselves and be blessed by these wonderful sites, these holy sites. And now living in Santa Fe, I feel extremely blessed to be there. Just the name of the name of Santa Fe means holy faith.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yes. Yes, that's what it means.
And to me, that's another spiritual site, because at least it's a very creative community, correct?
Absolutely. It's very creative. And then with the Native American influence, it has a wonderful spirituality there.
Yes, that is wonderful. I should ask you about your husband. Like, when he first met you, how did he take your gift? Was he receptive?
Well, I didn't initially tell him when I first met him. That's not a subject for dating. But as we grew and after we married and everything, it was difficult for him. And if you read the book, you will see his encounter. He's one of my spiritual companions, and he speaks from a very male perspective, you know, and he speaks to men who may have wives who are trying to find, you know, a better connection with God, and they feel left out. And so Jerry it was a tough road to hoe there. And then the next thing you know, he felt that either I'm going to get on board or I'm going to lose my wife. And when he opened himself up, he found that God wasn't just calling me and that he was calling him as well, and eventually became a deacon.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Now, my other thing is that people think, oh, wow, this person, she can speak to her guardian angel, so that guardian angel must do everything for her. She must be rich. She must have everything. But is that the case?
No. No. Milo, I'm not psychic, and I've said this to people many times. Milo doesn't give me lottery numbers. I wish. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say I don't wish. I do wish.
Of course. I know people right away think he heals you. You won't have any disease. You'll be just the lady of God.
Well, I feel that there's something called redemptive suffering, and I truly believe that even though I don't have everything exactly the way, you know, I would want it to be in my life, I do have illnesses. I do have things that are debilitating that go on in my life. But the truth of the matter is that I feel that I can offer that suffering up, and I feel that I'm not alone in my suffering, and so that is a great comfort to me. Have I asked God, and I just spoke about this today actually, have I asked God to heal me? Absolutely. Do I think he will? I believe that someday I will be healed. I don't know if it'll be in this life, but I will be healed. And I know that nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
You strike me as a rather humble person. So was it difficult to write the book since now you lose your anonymity, whereas before you could be private, but the book will open up the subject of angels to many, many people. Are you prepared for that?
I'm prepared to do what God has asked me to do. I didn't want to write the book. I didn't want that personal things in my life to be revealed. But I felt that if they are the truth, which this is my life and it is the truth, what am I hiding from? What do I have to fear? I can't speak those words and then not live it. You know, there's a difference there. I just don't want to pay that lip service. So when it came time to do this and the Lord asked me to do it, I said, you know, I did say, do I really have to do this? I mean, can't we find another way? Mm-hmm. And he said, Susan, I'm asking you. And so what do you say? You know, for me, yeah, exactly, yes. I haven't come this far. And I knew that I had to do this and do this for a purpose. And so here it is, and there it is. It's out there. Will people believe it? Some may not. But the purpose of it is not for people to either believe me or not to believe me, but it's for them to know that they have people, that they have angels guiding them, that they have relatives on the other side, that they are their intercessors at this point, and, you know, that they can call on them, and that they have, more importantly, God. God is with them. You're not alone. And that would be the message.
I was about to ask you, what is the message that the angels wish people to know?
The angels want, they do everything to glorify God. And if our lives can somehow, day by day, glorify God in what we do, give thanks, always give thanks for, whether it's trial or tribulation or whether it's triumph, to give thanks for all that is given to us and to know that we are on a journey and that we are not alone, that we are so surrounded by so much love and so much truth and so much gift. All we have to do is just open it up and receive it and cooperate with what God is asking of us. And we will be a changed person, and we will be a changed world. And that would be the message.
Well, how can people help you? Those people that have read your book and feel compelled to do something, what can they do?
Well, in the book, at the very end, you'll see that we are trying to open up what is called the Heart of Holiness. It was a vision given to me many, many years ago. It is going to be what God referred to as God's gas station, like a retreat house, but more or less a working retreat house with an organic farm that we would be able to feed the poor with. It would be a place to come and get filled up and then go out into the world and spread that joy to the world, literally. And we're trying to do this in New Mexico now and make that a model for, if who knows, maybe there may be other ones throughout the country, throughout the world at some point. But that is what we're trying to achieve. And if there is anyone out there who wants to help us financially, prayerfully, in whatever way they can possibly help, then that would be the way to do it.
So they can offer money and labor and prayers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Prayer is the most important thing, I believe, because then I think when people pray on it, they realize that it's real. And then if they are moved to financially support it, then wonderful. Then they know it was not just somebody hawking for money, but it was more that God had revealed something to them and they feel good about what they're doing.
Well, you know, we're getting close to the end of the show, but I want to ask you, do you have a website or some way that people can find out more about you and what you're doing?
Yes, we do have a website. It's www.followmefoundation.org. And they can reach us through that. There is also an email in there that they can contact us. And they can also look for us at different times on Facebook. We have a Facebook page, Twitter. And once you get on our website, it leads you to all kinds of different links. So please feel free.
Is your Facebook page under your name or Follow Me Foundation?
It's under the Follow Me Foundation.
Okay. Now, the last question I would ask you is, where can people get your book? Is it on Amazon and elsewhere? Where can they get it?
Yes, They can get it on Amazon.com. They can get it on Barnes & Noble. They can get it from AuthorHouse.com. It's definitely available online, and it's also available as an ebook. It's available as ebook, softcover, and a hardcover.
Well, is there anything I haven't asked you that you would like to share before we go?
No, I think that we've covered everything. I just would love to just tell your audience to listen and be aware and feel the blessings coming to them, because I am very grateful for all of you, and I am grateful for being on your show, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart for allowing me to spread this message, and hopefully for those to receive it.
Well, it's our pleasure to spend time with you and your angels. And I'm going to give them a hug and a thank you for tirelessly watching over us and loving us despite ourselves. So thank you for being willing to comfort those less spiritual, or less fortunate, I should say, with your spiritual gift and bringing light and hope to them.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. And I'm Deirdre Schuler, and this is the Blake Radio Network Rainbow Soul. Until next time, thank you for making my topic topically yours. And now we're going to end the show with Alabama singing Angels Among Us.
I was walking home from school on a cold winter day. Took a shortcut through the woods, and I lost my way. It was getting late, and I was scared and alone. But then a kind old man took my hand and led me home. Now Mama couldn't see him, oh, but he was standing there, and I knew in my heart he was the answer to my prayers. Oh, I believe there are angels among us, sent down to us from somewhere up above. They come to you and me in our darkest hours, to show us how to live, to teach us how to give, to guide us with the light of love. When life held troubled times and had me down on my knees, there's always been someone to come along and comfort me. A kind word from a stranger, to lend a helping hand, a phone call from a friend, just to say I understand. But ain't it kind of funny, at the dark end of the road, that someone lights the way with just a single ray of hope? Oh, I believe there are angels among us, sent down to us from somewhere up above. They come to you and me in our darkest hours, show us how to live, to teach us how to give, to guide us with the light of love. They wear so many faces, show up in the strangest places, to grace us with their mercy in our time of need. to guide us with the light of love. To guide us with the light of love.
You've been listening to the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul.